story, full of faith, reminds me of who? Who's the English person you're reminded of? George Mueller? And have you read the stories of George Mueller? That's such faith. I so appreciate that. I don't know if the kids got anything out of it, but I sure did. Thank you. I think a few others did too. So this morning, we're going to have testimony time, sharing time, exhortation time, whatever you want to call it. And so we're going to have four people come and share, but at the same time, we want to make the offer to any of you who might want to share afterwards. If you've got something to share, you can. The mic will be open up here, so you can come and just share. So Aaron LeClaire is going to come and share first, and then Hanukkah Dunsberger is going to come after her. So Aaron.
Good morning. So truthfully, when Pastor Bill asked if I could share a testimony, I was thinking, oh my goodness, I could go on all day on the faithfulness and the goodness of God and seeing his miraculous power just throughout our life. But then in just thinking about it, I thought, more recently, what have I seen God do? And I was like, I don't know. Nothing. And I know that's crazy because if you were to hear Sean and I's testimony, we know that God is real, and we know that he's active and walking with us in our life. So, but the last number of years have been really difficult years. And especially with COVID, and lots of you don't know me, but I work for the MLA and for the government, so the last 2 years wasn't really fun for me. And I kept thinking, where is God? And has he abandoned us? Has he left us? And so I have four children, and my two oldest children have really had an amazing opportunity to see and experience the presence of God. And I just kept thinking, what am I going to do with my younger two children? Because I just feel like the world is getting darker and darker, Canada is getting darker and darker, and how on earth are my kids going to be able to experience what they hear and see and read in the Word of God? Because I want my kids to not just that Christianity isn't just a religion to them, but that they actually experience God and they have a relationship with God and then they know him. And so I was like, we went from church to church to church, both in Ottawa and in Lethbridge, and just thought, this is like, doesn't feel hopeful. And so here in Psalms 139, it says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. And so we went to camp a number of weeks ago, I guess like a month now, and Pastor Bill had at the last service had done an altar call. And what amazed me was how many of the children and young people in this church all went up front. The call was, who wants, you know, like all more of God and to be all in, and who wants to be filled with the Spirit? And so many of these kids went up, and I was like, oh Jesus, please show up, please, 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 please show up, because I don't want any of these kids to go up with expectation and then be let down. And then, like, the question and the lies that start to develop of where was God and is he real? And I'm like, this is a moment where we need him. And so at first, the kids had gone up, and they were, and my kids went up, and I was watching, and I was just thinking, I don't know if this is going to be good, if this is going to end well. And then he came. And he came slowly, and he came gently, and he walked into the room, and he started touching all of those kids. And they were crying, and they were praying for one another, and there was, like, Alan was going around and prophesying and praying over them, and it was like, oh, there he is. Like, he's still here, and he's still on the move, and our kids are still hungry and eager and wanting him and longing for him, and I was like, and my kids are getting to experience him, not just hearing about him, but actually experiencing him, and so that is something that I'm thankful for, and I know that you have all, I'm sure, heard this scripture, but I just want to remind you that it says that in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and my female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I shall show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And I just am like, God, that is the cry of my heart for this nation. That you would raise up a Josiah generation that would throw off the pagan gods and idols that we have allowed into our nation, and that they would say once again, the God shall have dominion from sea to sea, and that these young people would cultivate a place where the God's presence will want to fall and rest within their hearts and within their communities and within our churches, and that we will see this nation turn its hearts to the Lord. So just a little drop of that and a little glimmer of hope is all we need to continue to press forward for that, believing that God can accomplish more than we can even imagine. So that's what I'm thankful for. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Aaron. Just as you were sharing that, I thought, Aslan is on the move. C.S. Lewis, all right? Aslan is on the move. And we want to keep, thank you, that was really encouraging. There's already a theme of faith, Kelly, from what you shared, and so that, I wonder what God's doing this morning. Very good. You've got lots to say, haven't you, Hanukkah? And lots to be thankful for. Right? Mm-hmm. I know you do.
Yeah, I do. Oh. Yeah, good morning. There has been a lot to be thankful for, but this week has been hard. As Virginia lost her daughter, and Danica, her mom, we struggled with putting things into words, you know? Like, so yes, I had the whole time struggling, like, how do I put this down? And in fact, it was this morning at 4:30, I finally was able to write some things out. So this isn't a full story, but just a bit of it. Psalm 116, verse 7 says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." These were the words I heard the Lord speak to me after an 8 months of period of quietness. Never before I had gone through such a long period of wilderness, a time of physical hardship and pain, emotional hurt, and feeling God had forsaken me, and total quietness from His side. I knew the words, we go from glory to glory, but I didn't know of the in-between the glories, the desert place. A wilderness experience. The wilderness is a season of maturing, a place of humility. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you in the way in the wilderness to humble you. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. I always had craved the Lord's voice, His walking beside me, His little dealings with me. I didn't always understand right what He was trying to tell me. But I remember just always hearing Him, even as a small child. My life hasn't always been an easy one. There has been lots to learn and unlearn, but usually I felt he was there, but this time it was different. I had to learn to walk by faith, without his voice leading me, and I stumbled. A year and a half ago, Eva got born. Her head was bigger than my body could handle, and I went through a very traumatic birth. Afterwards, my body was a mess, and so was I. I felt God had forsaken me in this, as I had trusted him. I was in deep pain, both physically and emotionally, and was emptied out spiritually. This period took 8 months, a time of absolute quietness. I could read, I could pray, I could do all the things I did before, and there was absolutely nothing. I was devastated. Then, through the body of believers, I first got helped physically. By a row of beautiful put-together miracles, I ended up getting a much-needed operation. And what I later understood had been just in time. I had to learn to lean on a community without being able to give back. A total undoing of me, a place of deep humility. God came through in action, but he still was quiet. I learned to walk blind, trusting. It was the most humbling experience. But today I am saying, thank you, Lord, for dealing bountifully with me, for undoing me and refining me of who I am. Today I am saying, thank you for life. A life where I hear God speak again. A life where I have a faithful provider, a reasonable health, a beautiful milking cow and a yard full of flowers, a sweet family and an incredible community. I am a slow learner, but his dealings are sweet. The journey was hard. Death came close. His voice was so quiet, my health declined. A community stood up. God spoke to others. The actions got made. The path was not easy. The impossible happened. An alive baby and a mama against all the odds. There was people praying. When heavenly connection got hard to hear, others stood up. They heard and followed, and for this I'm thankful. I'm a slow learner, but his dealings are sweet. I came out changed. Now, living with somewhat a handicap, the journey isn't easy. I have to learn to be okay, but living a pace slower, not to be able to do it all. But I am alive, and for this I'm thankful. Cheer the chatter around the table. Many often dirty footsteps on the floor, broken nights with a cheating toddler, late nights because of a deep thinker. Many morning, midday and night snuggles, kids who steal my coffee. Many stories, dreams and hard times shared, bills paid in time, and table full of food, for this I'm thankful. A little girl picking off my just blooming flower heads. Dishes that never seems to stop, and not even speaking about laundry here. A lap and arms barely empty. Eyes that don't seem to get enough sleep. A house that doesn't stay clean, work's never done. Endless pails of milk, for this I'm thankful. A God who comes through, a community beside, a family surrounding, nature all around. A heart that says it's okay. Learning to not perform. I'm a slow learner, but his dealings are sweet, and for this I'm thankful.
Thank you for sharing from your heart, Hanukkah. We know the outside story. I think we know a little bit more of the inside story. Thank you very much for sharing that. Very good. We as a church community participated a lot in your journey. And so I was thinking as you were sharing, what word is contained in the word faithfulness? What other word? Faith. Yeah. Faith is our belief in God who is faithful. And so that's a journey again. We're expressing that again in terms of faith. Callie, you got double duty. You're going to share again this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I don't feel entirely prepared for this, but Pastor Bill asked me to share about how God has been working in my life. So I thought I would kind of relate it to some of the sermons and the main themes that have been spoken about and that I've been hearing over the last few weeks, because it seems like whenever God wants me to hear something, he like pounds it at me multiple times. So, and it actually started with the verse from Bert and Geralee's Wedding. Those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I feel like right now is a season of waiting in my life as well. And it's felt like that for a long time. And sometimes I get very impatient. I get very impatient with God, and I just say, can't you just hurry up and like give me something, show me something, do something? And what he's been doing is just showing me that I need to be calm and content with waiting. And one of the promises I believe he had for me at the beginning of this year, we had a time, actually on New Year's Eve at Young Adults at the beginning of this year, where we just had a quiet moment to ask God what he had for us this year. And I heard so strongly that he had emotional healing for me, because in the last 5 years, I have been through many, many very difficult things. And he just told me that he wanted to completely heal me and give me freedom from all that pain that I have been having to deal with. So in this process over the last year, he has been making me wait for things. And whenever, and I'm a very anxious and emotional person, and when I start to get anxious, and he reminds me that he is going to provide, and he will provide in his timing. He has always provided what I need, exactly when I need it, not when I want it, but whenever I've needed it, and he has been there. And I have to remember that, because it's not, he knows what's best for me, and it's not what I want. It is what he wants for me, and he knows what that is. And one of the biggest things, I guess if you know me, you know that I am I'm a horsewoman. So I own horses. I have two horses now. And one of them is a rescue. And I actually found this horse from a post. It was just a tiny little paragraph of this guy. He wanted to find a new home for this horse. And I didn't know really anything about the horse. I had a few pictures, and he looked pretty okay. I thought, you know, I can bring this horse back, no problem. So when he came home and the trailer pulled up and I opened the door, and I just about lost it, because he was to the point where he would have died in another week. And I decided to call this horse Samson, because God gave him another chance. So what God has done with this horse is he has shown me the story of redemption all over again. This horse was pretty much nothing. He was dead. Nobody wanted him. And he was at the point of just dying, And God's always given me a very compassionate heart, and for some reason, He had in His plan for me to bring this horse home. And I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. I have never done something like this before. But the whole thing was totally God ordained. And I said, okay, God, you want me to do this? Then I'm going to do it, but you're going to have to provide what I need for it. And, sorry. He has done that. He has given me everything I need to care for this horse. And as it's only been 3 months, but I'm watching this horse put on 400 pounds now. And his neck is, he holds his head up and he's so happy. And he's running and he's jumping and he's kicking up his heels. And when I saw him, he couldn't even lift his head for the first time. And as I care for this horse and as I nurture him and try to bring him back to full health and strength, I see this is what God does with us. We are just completely broken and we can't do anything without Him. And He chooses us, He gives us that choice. So, I'm sorry for getting emotional. But through this journey that I'm on in caring for this horse, God is giving me this emotional healing. I am having to focus all of my effort and my energy on some other being and off of myself. And He's teaching me amazing lessons with this. So, thank you for letting me share.
Oh, good. Stay here. Holy Spirit gave me a prophetic word last night, and I said, who's it for? Said, wait, you'll find out. It's for you. As it turns out, it's just simply, this is the word initially, simply the Lord says, my heart beats for you as a young lover's heart beats in joy and anticipation when his love comes around. Now, I'm not talking about a male, I'm talking about a horse. But your heart beats for that horse, etc. And so these two passages of scripture came to me. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. All right? And then in Psalm 33, this will relate to you. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. The horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love to deliver them from death and keep them in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, and we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon you, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. So I felt that God was saying something to you in that, in what you're going through, in this journey you're on. God's doing a work much deeper in your heart than on the periphery, what it looks like for a horse. And bless you for taking care of the horse, too. All right, thank you. Bless you, Callie. Yeah. Good. You never know how God speaks, right? One now one way, now another way, etc. Praise the Lord. Ian's going to come and share. Now, Ian, if you don't know, is Aaron's brother, or maybe Ian's brother. Who's older? Aaron. Oh, well, then he's your brother. Yeah, way older. And so we're looking forward to that. Ian has just joined us relatively recently, so we're looking forward to what he has to share.
Thank you. Well, I got a text from Bill this week, like the other three, and he asked me to share what I'm thankful for. To start, thanks for getting me to share in the morning. There's less people here, less intimidating. How God has been at work in my life. Well, I was thinking about it for a good couple hours as I was working, and the one specific date came to me, August 1st, 2021. Exactly a year before I moved out here. That was the first time I came to this church. It changed my life. It opened up my eyes to a whole different way to look at God and how he works with us. There was an amazing word preached on faith, which I really appreciate, and it made me think for an entire year, and it made me change the way I looked at God and the way that I lived my life, even my prayer life. So God has me on a journey, and what it all involves, I don't know, but this is the start of it. So I'm really looking forward to more, and I'm excited for it. So this week I've kind of just been asking God to help me with scripture and to bring a word to me every day. And I asked him to use the verse of the day in the Bible app. So there was a couple different ones that came up. So it started with 1 Samuel chapter 3, I believe. And it was about the word of the Lord. And it says in the second verse there, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Right, and I've been told that the word of the Lord is also rare today. It doesn't happen, right? It's very, very few people experience the word of the Lord. But now I know different. So it made me realize I need to take God at his word, and I need to listen for his word. And a relationship with God doesn't just involve praying to him, but it also involves reading his word and listening to what he has to say to us. This morning, the other passage that came to me was also the verse of the day in Philippians. So this one, had to do with Thanksgiving, being Thanksgiving weekend and all. I'm sure that's part of why it is one of those verses. So Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank God in all my remembrance of you. I'll continue. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer a joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you, but I know God has a good work beginning in all of us. And all of us here, and Bill, you also asked me to share about family camp and what I'm thankful for there. Well, as many of you know, I didn't really do much that weekend. I was dealing with a bit of an injury, wasn't walking much, and still recovering, but I was like, how on earth am I supposed to be thankful for anything that weekend? That was the first thought that came into my head. But there's plenty. I spent a lot of time with just meeting new people, getting to know different people, made a good group of friends, and they're sitting in the back. Start, Micah, Shreya, thanks. it's been great, and been hanging out with a bunch of people, and it's a group of friends that I can't compare with any other group of friends I've had before, right? Like, it's just, you can tell that there's something different about them. They walk the walk of faith, and they show it in their everyday life. Staying up late, talking, playing games, it was fun. Like, I'm the type of guy to run around and have fun. I kind of sometimes have endless amounts of energy. But I couldn't do that weekend. But there was also time for prayer, and I had a number of people praying for me, and it moved me. And for one of the first times in my life, I was moved emotionally by the Spirit. Yeah, I'm 22 years old, and I think in the last month and a half, I've been brought to tears more times by the Spirit than any other time in my life. So before family camp, before any of that, I don't think I've ever had that in my life. So, yeah, I praise God for that, and I thank Him for that every day. And, I look forward to a lot more, and I look forward to getting to know a lot more people here and walking the walk of faith with you all. So, thank you.
Thanks. That was really good. Don't you love these mornings? We should have them more often, Bill. I know. We will. I know. Anyone else want to share? That's got something stirring. This is kind of a theme this morning on faith and faithfulness and Thanksgiving. Anyone else want to share? Sean. Yeah, come. Yeah, absolutely. This is my old buddy, Sean, who I've known for years. There you go.
I'm of the age where I have come to appreciate a good nap. I don't know if you've gotten. I haven't always been a good napper, but I've come to appreciate a good nap. Unless that's in your spiritual life, and I feel like I've been napping. And last week, Bill preached on our two natures, and that's been my life message for about 20 years now. And it woke me up. And something stirred in me this week, and I realized just kind of where I had let myself get to. That was the passion on my heart, is that we have a new nature. We're no longer sinners. And that we died. I mean, that's what Romans is. Paul says it all in Romans. We died, we died, we died, we died, we died. And your life is hidden with Him. And Ian shared just about not knowing that. And I remember talking to so many people that felt the weight of sin on a daily basis because that's who they were. And yet we come to know Him by faith. And if we believe we're sinners, we're going to sin by faith because that's who we believe we are. And God, I mean, Paul says in Colossians, our nature has so significantly changed, he says that we've died to the basic elements of this world. Like, that's significant. We're no longer subject to the basic principles of this world. That's how much our nature has changed. If I may make a bit of a mess this morning, do you know that we are no longer under the law? If you are a believer, the Ten Commandments do not apply to you. Pastor Bill Johnson says it this way: all truth is true. There's a lot of truth in the Word of God, but not all truth is equal. And so we have the Ten Commandments, and if you want to follow them, you can, sure. But they no longer apply to the new nature. The new nature is the Spirit. And so we no longer have rules and regulations we are supposed to follow. We have the Spirit that we're supposed to follow. And I don't know, the kingdom of God, if we want to bring the kingdom of God is like a family, right? Father God, He runs His family like a father. Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride. And I don't know about you, when I got married, nobody gave me a book of commandments. I did not get a list of rules and regulations to go with the marriage. It might have made it easier. I probably wouldn't have followed them. But I would have at least known what I'm not following. I mean, that's what the law is. It's, the Bible calls it a tutor to point us to the fact that we cannot follow Him well enough. And so when I got married, I didn't follow rules and regulations. I had a wife in front of me. And I don't know, Graham knows this because he knows me, but I'm a very charming and hilarious guy. And my wife didn't always think so. And I don't know what happened. But there were days where I was very charming and hilarious. And there were days that she would look at me, and I didn't know what I did, but I did something. I wasn't charming and hilarious anymore. And that's exactly what it means to walk by the Spirit. Psalm 32 says that don't be like the horse, talked about, with the bit and the bridle, that he will direct us with his eyes. And so unless we can hear the word of God, unless we are face to face with him on a daily basis and looking at him and going, how are we doing? Are you, God, are you, what do you think of me? And usually he's pretty delighted. He's a pretty happy God. And so I just, that's just been stirring up in me is when you're napping, your eyes are closed. And so I just been gazing upon his face again this week and just realizing, oh, how he loves me. That he wants us awake. He wants us looking at him. He wants us to see him. And in the looking at him and gazing upon his face and seeing who he is, we get to know who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. Don't touch, you know, don't eat this, don't do this, don't do that, wear this, don't. It's about, Jesus, what do you think of me? What do you think of me? And I just want to share, I mean, Aaron in the yellow, I really feel like you got the heart of a warrior. You really do. And I saw this picture of David trying to put on Saul's armor. And I think somewhere along the line, somebody in good intentions put some armor on you or tried to give you protections that don't fit. They're not your size. And you got to get blood on your sword. When you prayed, there was a power to your declarations over the nations. You are a fighter, and you are a ground taker. And your armor is faith. Your armor is vulnerability. David went before Goliath without armor. He went vulnerable with the strength of the Lord. And that is your armor, the faith that you have, the knowing that God will meet you in your circumstances. So I just encourage you to pull that sword out and get some blood on it again and take ground. Make the declarations. There's power in that. And Ian, I saw a boldness come over you, and you're going to scare some people. Some people, you're going to make some people really nervous. There's a courage and a boldness coming over you because of the intimacy you're going to have with the Lord. There's an awakening happening in your emotions where you are going to, just like talking about, stare at him, gaze on him. And in that present, Joshua used to spend hours just soaking in the glory of the Lord. And there is a soaking that's going to happen in the glory of the Lord, and it's going to create a courage and a boldness of you, and you're going to scare people, and that's a good thing. You're supposed to scare people. Amen. You're supposed to take them where they don't want to go, and in a good way. You're supposed to do that in a good way. And finally, this young man in the cat sweatshirt, I feel joy. The joy is who you are, in exuberance, and exuberance joy. And as a young man, you know, like we like to be cool, and we don't want to be too excited or too happy, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. And as you discover joy, you will discover that you are the strongest man you know. It says of Jesus that he was the happiest among all of his friends. It says in Hebrews that he was the happiest among his companions, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But so there is a strength in you, young man, that comes from joy. And I just encourage that.
Who knew, Sean, are you going to get up here, you're going to give some prophetic words? Very good. Very good. Look, we really appreciate Bill teaching week after week and his faithfulness to the word and the value of it. But there's a whole bunch in the body, isn't there? Whole bunch of stuff, and we heard some of it this morning. So thank you, Sean. Thank you for each one of you who shared. I was going to share something, but there's no time. That's good. All right. Let's close with prayer, and then we can stick around. There is prayer upstairs, those of you who are wanting to pray, and then there's a second service coming, but it'll never be as good as the first service, right? Amen? No. It'll be as good as the first service. So Father, thank you for your constant, faithful work in our lives. We have so much to be thankful for. And I want to express my thankfulness to the gift you've given to me in Jesus and the gift you've given to me in my wife and my family. I thank you for them all. And so today, as we express our thanks to you, open up our faith to see things more than we've seen them. Open up our hearts, open up our eyes, open up our emotions to be able to receive more from you, because there's much more to come yet. Thank you for this body of believers. I ask your blessing on each of us as we go away, and that this would be a day of rejoicing in you and who you are. We bless your name and we honor you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a really good morning. Stay around in fellowship. And this was good to be together. Amen.